Does your financial advisor take the time to really listen to you? Is your financial strategy personalized for you and your family? Will your financial advisor be there as your life and financial situation changes? When you work with Edward Jones, they focus on what's important to you. You'll work together and use an established process to create a personalized financial strategy backed by the advice, tools, and resources to help you reach your goals. And they'll partner with you to help your strategy stay on track. Visit EdwardJones.com or stop by the office of Todd Nash in Coralville, Jeff Rudolph, or Scott McGill in Iowa City, or Travis Whitmore in North Liberty. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Oh man, here we go again. Up early, feed the dog, out the door, traffic, at the office, boss in some kind of mood today, no time for lunch, annoying coworker, no time to relax, bedtime. Then we gotta do it all again? No way, because the best way to break up the mundane every day is to play at Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Slots, tables, sports, and a whole lot of perks when you join and play with your club wild card. So, let's play Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Clinton.
Good morning to you. 11-year-olds robbing a bank. Wow. HawkFanatic.com brought to you by Dr. Lance Forbes, Diamond Dental in Cedar Rapids, Streets Maintenance, the Oxyoke Inn in the Amanas, Premier Automotive in North Liberty, Hertine and Stocker Jewelers 101 South Dubuque Street, downtown Iowa City, the Midtown Family Restaurants, Silva's Flowers, home of 1-800-800-ROSE, GT Carr and his crew at Silva's Building and Remodeling, Mike's E-Keys for Cars, Steve Anderson, Hawkeye Title and Settlement, and Deary Brothers Ford, Patrick Eads, and his staff. Here is Suter. Here's Hardy.
Hardy, har, har, har.
Yipping away in the background.
We are yipping.
Yeah. Yeah. 11-year-old and 12-year-old walk into a Wells Fargo. I think it was Wells Fargo now. And come out and rob the place. Give us the money. They gave them the money.
Were they apprehended?
Yes, but how ridiculous.
Did they use a weapon?
Didn't say. I'm assuming.
It sounds like
they just went in and, no, I don't think they used a weapon.
Sounds like a joke for a stand-up from the 50s. You know, an 11-year-old and 12-year-old go into the bank.
If an 11 or 12-year-old came in and asked you if they weren't armed, wouldn't you just...
Well, I'm sure they were armed.
That's a big part of the story. Wouldn't you just say, no, go away. Go back to school.
And not if they're waving a gun at
me. Well, I'm just saying if they weren't armed. That's what I said.
Oh, well, of course.
But he said it doesn't say if they were armed. Yeah, they had to have been armed.
They had to have been.
But even an 11-year-old with a knife, would you take serious?
They're calling them the little rascals.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The age of the two younger, 11 and 12.
Well, in this
age,
you may have had an AK.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say whether they were armed. That's just a...
It's charged with robbery by threat.
Well, then that's not the same as
they're not
possessing a firearm.
Go away, Timmy.
Lassie's waiting outside.
Go. Hey, Clifford is on TV. Go, why don't you go watch Clifford the Big Red Dog? I don't get this story.
Well, they're little rascals.
You know,
they
robbed
the bank.
You know where they'll be in like 2 weeks? The transfer portal.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I would do would be to fire the teller who gave them money.
10 and 11? I mean, I don't get that. Threats.
They're big 11, for their age, 11, Pat.
11 and 12.
I'm going to toss this Kool-Aid on you if you don't give us that money. That's one of the strangest stories I've ever...
That is just... ridiculous.
And to think I thought the Proctor thing was strange. See how I segue into that?
The Proctor thing was strange.
You know my nephew, the one that you get a kick out of in the chat room?
Yeah.
He actually told me, he texted me at 5:03 yesterday and said, hey, I've been told that Proctor's headed to Alabama. And I'll admit, I kind of like, yeah, whatever. I mean, I just, God. But then I'm like, I texted him back. I'm like, okay, so who's your source? And then when he tells me his source, who I can't say on the record, I'm like, oh. Really? this, God, is this really happening?
God, that sounds real.
And then 20 minutes later, poop hit the fan. I think Doctorman was the first one to tweet that he was entering the portal. But my nephew said, well, no, he's going to enter the portal, but he's going back to
Alabama.
And then I think it was On Three Sports about a half an hour, 45 minutes after my nephew had told me, they're the ones who got a hold of Proctor and said he's just re-enrolling in Alabama again through the portal. Of course, that's how you got to do it. I just thought it was funny that, and then I'm getting ripped by this guy on Twitter. Geez, you call yourself a Hawker reporter and you get your news from your freaking nephew? Whoa. This time, yes.
Well, hey. Sometimes you do.
And I said back to this guy, and then he goes, yikes. And then I said back to him, my nephew told me this almost a half an hour before anyone in the media on either side, Alabama.
Sometimes that's where you get news.
Of course.
Yes, and he just happened to stumble upon a friend who knows somebody. Yeah. Tom, I told you who the source was.
Yes.
And it was a very reliable.
Very reliable.
I tried to find a second source in those. The first thing I did when he told me who the source was, I Googled and did social media searches. Nothing. I went to Alabama Twitter sites, all the Iowa guys. But then, like I said, about 20 minutes later, one tweet came out, and then everybody had it. Then the best thing, I was at the game last night, and I love hearing the media. Oh, I knew this in the morning. There was all that stuff going
Bull.
On. I mean, there was nothing. I hadn't heard anything about this at noon yesterday.
No.
Nobody had.
No.
Nobody
you
had.
You know how I checked my phone?
Nobody had.
Yeah. It wasn't
and like
anyone.
I said, when my nephew texted me this at 5:03, and I didn't take it serious until he told me who the source was. And I'm like, wow, okay, this is actually probably happening. And boom, lo and behold.
Sure enough.
I hope this is the end of it. I don't want to rip the kid. I know he's getting ripped on Twitter. But do we have Adam on?
No, but we got a caller. Hello?
Well, I'm not Adam. But anyway, I was wondering, why did Porter leave here?
Well, Caden Proctor, we don't know.
Multiple reasons, I mean, I'm sure, but I mean, I don't want to put, I haven't talked to the kid.
We don't, heard that.
Got lots of pressure?
I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know, Karn. We haven't talked to him. I mean, I'm sure there's multiple reasons. NIL, who knows? I mean, lots of different stuff.
Okay, now what did you think of Iowa last night? It was a pathetic crowd. There weren't very many there.
Just under 5,000.
There weren't very many, we were into it.
And the way they were seated, it looked okay.
Yeah,
it was only 5,000, but that's kind of what we expected.
Yep.
But they were loud.
And it was a fun game.
Now they're headed to Utah.
There was a little row of Iowa State people there, and they had a big banner saying, Cyclone Nation.
I didn't see that.
I didn't see that either.
Yeah. Well, they walked up the stairs beside me. I said, hey, you guys, take that to Omaha.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we couldn't get in over there.
Yeah.
So they come here. But they were rooting for Kansas State.
Well, why didn't you punch them out?
Well, because they were all tall, big guys.
Okay.
My money would have been on you.
Yeah.
I'm just a little old lady.
I think you could have taken him.
Well, maybe I could have. I just punched him down the stairs.
There you go.
But anyway, I thought Iowa showed up fairly well because those other guys were tall. There's a couple of tall guys in there.
They were, and they played a pretty tenacious defense, I thought. It was a pesky team. I can see why they won a lot of games. They were able to. I know they beat Iowa State earlier, and they beat some good teams, and you can see why.
Yeah, and now we'll play Utah.
Yes,
in Salt Lake.
At Utah. Yeah. It'll be at Utah, right?
It will.
Yes, either Saturday or Sunday. I don't know if the day was.
I have looked all morning for time, and it has been released.
It has or hasn't?
It has not.
Okay.
I watched them play last night, and, they're a pretty fast team.
They got a really good center.
Yeah, I noticed that.
He's a shot blocker, and he's tall. They're very tall. I mean, they've got a lot of size.
They don't go very deep.
But they've also lost 14 games.
Yeah, so they don't go very deep.
Just like Kansas State. Kansas State had lost 14. Kansas State had some strengths, but they had weaknesses.
That's why they're in the NIT. Including us.
Yeah.
Did you hear that there are a whole mess of teams that decided
yeah, 17,
they didn't
seven,
come
in
the NIT?
17.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
There were a bunch of them, and everybody's ransacking and telling how they think that was horrible for basketball, that you don't sit there and turn people down.
The reason it's happening is because the transfer portal's open at the same time, and it's just ridiculous that
they should open the transfer portal
later.
After.
Later, yes.
Well, we said this last year.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Karin, I gotta let you go.
Anyway, you guys have a good day.
Okay.
Thank you, Karin.
Yeah. Bye. She's gonna call at 9:15.
Yeah, he said roughly 9:15.
Okay.
Sometimes he calls earlier, sometimes he calls later. Maybe he'll blow us off.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. Maybe something big's going on. Maybe the Proctor decision maybe has just tilted like the
an 11-year-old, the kid wants
NASDAQ or whatever
wants
it is.
To cash in a stock.
Or maybe there's an 11-year-old that's telling him, you know, if you make a phone call, if you call that station, I'm kicking your ass, and he's afraid.
Well, now that
maybe his 11-year-old son.
That news story did not say how big the 11-year-old was. Maybe he's going to step in for Proctor here at Iowa.
There you go. Is this Adam here?
Yes.
Let's ask him. Ask him right now.
Yeah.
Adam, how old are your kids? How old are your sons?
I've got one that's 12, not 11, but close.
Okay, so
and 12.
If your son went into where'd he go? Where was this, Captain?
It was a bank in Houston.
It was Wells Fargo.
Yeah, Wells Fargo.
Adam.
And it doesn't sound like they were armed, but they just made threats to the teller. Hey, an 11 and a, what would you do? I mean, wouldn't you just say go home, Timmy? I mean,
what did you say earlier? Throw the Kool-Aid on him?
Yeah, Kool-Aid or, you know, hey, Clifford's on.
And there's an 11, 12, and a 16-year-old, but it was the 11-year-old that made the threats.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
give us your... I don't even know if it was a threat. This is bank robbery. Give us the money. And they did.
I would love to interview the teller and just to know what they were thinking. Because it says
they're just following some kind of policy.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
No,
you're right.
Probably right. Here we are making light of it. That, but, I mean, that's just weird that an 11-year-old would have the – nobody took me serious at 11.
Well, you know? I couldn't even tie my shoes at 11.
At 11, I was just a complete imbecile.
Oh, my God.
You know, so – All right.
They passed
a
threatening note to the teller. They were believed to be armed, though they didn't have a present a weapon.
Okay, that's a little different.
The threatening note was it in crayon?
Etch a sketch. God, now we're just making fun of kids. Let's move on to the Hawks. No, Adam. Not put you on the spot. Were you surprised by the Caden Proctor thing yesterday as much as I was?
I thought somebody was joking about it. I didn't even know that was possible to.
Adam, I don't
get here and then to turn around and go right back.
I've never heard of a situation where an athlete has transferred in the middle of a semester. How can it work? You played Division I sports. I mean, do the Iowa professors call up the okay? Here is where he is in American Lit 2. We've got him on. You know, this is and like they hand the baton. How do the credits transfer? Because you have to.
I would think he's got to finish up. So not knowing if he's in, you know, times have changed now. These kids have a lot of online stuff.
That's what I was told last
night.
He's
got to finish this out until May. So technically, he's not going to be able to get down there until. I guess he could be down there, but just take online classes.
On 3 says he's re-enrolling at Alabama this spring. That's what they store on 3.
But does it say he's re-enrolling for the spring semester?
It says he's re-enrolling in Alabama this spring. But like I was told last night, it was suggested to me that, like Adam said, that may involve him taking online classes here while also taking classes down there. But how is that possible under NCAA rules? And I mean,
well, the NCAA has shown that they don't have a good handle on this.
I've never heard of somebody transferring in semester. I mean, have you, Adam?
I don't even know how it's possible, but I never thought I'd see the light of day where you've got this stuff kind of going on in the college world. I mean, it's at least in the professional ranks, right? If they want to get paid, you're held to contracts and some standards that you've got to uphold on your end. This is so out there. There's no rules. There's no regulations.
No,
there's nothing.
Nothing.
And so if he's taking money and then can shoot right back to Alabama, I mean, the NCAA and whoever, conferences, whoever's going to make these decisions, somebody's got to get their hands on this and get some of this fixed.
Now, what did
because
Brad tell you? You're right, though, Adam. Right. There is no structure at all.
Okay, it's not – okay, we know that Caden Proctor was going to have a nice NIL package to return to Iowa.
Wasn't it going
to
be at least $100,000 a year?
I think that's what I've heard, too.
Yeah.
But what he got – okay, the NIL collective, which was – you know, how Iowa has most of it set up, never gave him a nickel.
He had to start doing stuff here, right?
From the collective, he did get a small payment from the business
side. But
had
he done any charity work yet?
No. Okay. No, that's the collective, and he didn't got not one penny from the collective.
Okay, and that's because he hadn't done any charity work in the month and a half he was here.
That's right.
Okay.
But the business saying he got a small signing bonus.
That's the cost
from somebody.
Of doing business. And that's right. The cost of doing business. But Adam, isn't there a simple remedy? They need to move the open window back until after postseason. Move it back a month, don't they?
Yep, I agree.
Because it was interesting.
And then I don't know how many transfers you get right before you have to sit out a year. But this whole being able to bounce around and jump around, I got to think, I mean, at some point you've got to put the lock on that and maybe get one transfer. And then from that point, you're going to have to sit out a year.
Well, that's the way it used to be.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I was talking to Jeff Settles after the game. I don't think he would mind me sharing this. It was nothing. Jerome Tang, the Kansas State coach, was talking about how right before shoot-around at Carver, he was on the phone working the portal. Moment the shoot-around ended, on the phone working the portal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what these guys, they're having. And, you know, Kansas State decided we're still going to play in this thing, but these other teams, they didn't want to mess with the NIT. And if they don't fix this, Adam, I'm thinking the NIT may be history here in not too long. If this continues, this is, what do you think? Do you think there's a future if this continues with this setup?
I'm kind of with you. No, I think a lot of this stuff is in jeopardy, kind of moving forward. And I don't know what the right answer is.
I don't either.
With this portal stuff, too, with these coaches, I feel bad for them. I can't imagine, like, if you just think of the professional game, right, you've got a team of general managers and people above you that are doing all the behind-the-scenes work and working through agents and trying to figure out who they want and how the money and budget's going to work. I can't imagine these college coaches, and I think that's why you see these guys getting out. They're like, I didn't sign up for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I normally recruit these people in, and I'm selling the university education, and I'm selling what we're going to, you know, make them a better student-athlete and a better person on the way out. We're going to take care of them. Now it's all about money, and you could have a really good relationship with a guy, but, you know, the school next door could be saying, hey, we're going to pay you an extra $250,000 to come play for us. The kid's going to walk out. So you're not only recruiting people every year within your own team to keep them to stay, but then you got to be on the portal and you're trying to get these guys to transfer or come to you. Or, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff illegally that's happening with communication, and it might even be through, you know, a third party. But this is just getting, I think, out of hand at this point.
Completely.
Yeah, and I think Proctor is kind of a symbol of it. I don't want to rip the kid. But it's not a real.
You said that in your article.
It's not a real good look for him.
How do you come back to this state and settle down someday? I mean, he'd be able to do that, but I would just. I left Iowa State and came to Iowa, and I felt terrible. You know, I can't imagine where you kind of do it to a school twice, where leave, go to Alabama, come back, get everybody excited, and then leave again. Well, something had to happen. I mean, there's some reason why he did this.
But what was weird is he didn't even wait until the semester. He could have transferred. He could have transferred this summer.
Yeah.
You know, but it was like he was just in such a hurry to get out of here. I mean, he's only been here like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, about 2 months, I guess. That game where he was at and everybody interviewed him, and it was like, oh my God, he's back. What was that, about mid-January? Okay, so he's been here 2 months.
Yeah.
Somebody had a funny tweet. He goes, Caden Proctor's biggest accomplishment at Iowa was losing to my intramural team 69-63. And they showed a picture of Proctor getting ready to put on his shoes to play intramural basketball. The guy is a mountain. He is just one of the biggest people I've ever seen. But I'm with you, Adam. It's just. And
there has to be
there's
regulation.
There's a lot going on. I mean,
there has to be.
And then Adam was 17 teams not playing in the NIT. I mean, they've got some stuff they got to fix.
Oh, I thought it was 7. 17?
No, 17 was the final. St. Bonaventure turned down a chance to play in the NIT. They said they needed to work the portal. They had their roster. The excuse for everybody is the portal, and that's the convenient excuse.
Well, the first day it was open, 450 kids.
Yeah.
450.
Yeah, and it's Adam, okay, let's talk about last night's game, though. I thought it was a good effort. I was really impressed early on with Iowa's perimeter defense. Now, Kansas State did miss some shots, but what do you think, your overall take from that win last night?
I thought, you know, not only did Peyton come out and kind of set the tone, he had an unbelievable game, right? 30 points on 7 of 11 from 3. He played almost flawless. Yeah, I just thought her energy was good.
Yeah.
That's a good Kansas State
team. It is. Very athletic.
Very athletic. They're dangerous. They're you know, they've got some guys that can really score. And, I mean, just athletically, they're impressive. But for us to come out, you get a win, you stay excited. It's hard to get up. You know, everybody wants to be in the tournament. But, yeah, I mean, I think for us, let's look at getting to the 20-win mark. Let's keep winning this and see what we can do. And I'll go back, not to bring up the portal, but I'm going to give Fran and the staff a lot of credit. Some of these schools, it's a complete turnover every year.
Every year.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's hard for fan bases to kind of get excited. You don't really have, I mean, me growing up a Hawkeye, you get these guys when they're freshmen, like Owen Freeman, Harding. You know, you get to watch these guys all the way through, and hopefully everybody stays. Fran's had these guys. Mm-hmm. You got Sanford, and you got, you know, Tony Perkins. Everybody that's coming through, we've got to watch these guys grow and get better and play together. Mm-hmm. These other programs have guys in and out. I mean, I think it's hard to really get excited for some of these guys that are here a year and then they're gone. So I really compliment Fran and the staff of the kind of people we're bringing in and the players and the commitment on their end. So, again, I think you see that. These guys want to win. They want to get better. You know, Fran talked about this is going to spring into next year. We got some young guys. We got to keep getting them every opportunity possible. So I was excited about last night's game, and I'm looking forward to the next game when they play out in Utah.
I thought Ben Cricky was a monster in very the second
efficient,
half.
Very efficient when, And Adam, I got to ask, is Peyton, does he have a chance to play in the NBA, Sanford?
I was thinking about that last night. And the reason I think he does is not only his size, but how quick he gets that shot off.
He does get it off quickly.
You know, in the NBA, he doesn't need to be the big scorer and throw up a bunch of points. He needs to be a guy kind of like Kyle Korver.
How about Duncan Robinson? Like
or
that.
Duncan Robinson, yeah. Exactly. Another good one. You just need to be a spot-up shooter, come off a screen. You know, they've got plenty of scorers and big men in that league where you just got to be solid, and you got to knock down threes at a, you know, 40-plus percent clip, and I think he can do that.
And I'm guessing if he was 6'2", 6'3", we wouldn't be having this conversation, but he is a legitimate 6'7", and that makes a big difference. And you're right.
He gets that shot off quick. I mean, look at some of those shots last night where – I mean, he's got just a little bit of marginal space between him and the defender, and he's getting that shot off. And, you know, when he's hot like that, you can just tell he's wanting the ball in his hands. And I would argue with the way he was shooting last night, he only took 14 shots. I think I would have been pumping in a few more.
I'm with you. And I think Peyton's the kind of guy, first day of an NBA camp, if he's open, he's going to shoot. I don't think he's fazed by any circumstance. I think he thinks every shot he takes is going in. And, Adam, you know, sometimes you have that mental edge and just sometimes you don't.
Well, I think that's what makes Caitlin the player she is, right? She can miss her first five or six shots.
And or nine.
And she still thinks, I'm making the next one. Yeah. And it is hard. Even when I played, you get those little creepy thoughts in there like, man, I'm not making anything right now.
Yeah.
Try to get to the rim, get to the free throw line. But, you know, some of these guys, it just rolls right off their back, and they're ready for the next shot, and the next one's going in. They're going to keep firing. And, you know, again, I think we need that. We need guys like Peyton to step up and be that scorer, especially when he's feeling it like that. He's got to keep shooting.
When Caitlin came in with Connor, there was a small ovation.
A ripple, wasn't there?
Yeah, and then there's people like, I don't know, then it got a little creepy. I see, like, videos of them on Twitter, like, interacting with some Iowa State guy had a video of them two sitting together laughing and making small – and it was on Twitter. I don't know.
I think that's a little creepy.
I don't need – I mean, leave him alone.
Exactly.
All I tweeted was that she was – she had entered the arena, and I was predicting that the arena would be full by the start of the second half. That's all I tweeted. But no, it was a nice win. Now they go to Utah. I watched a little bit of Utah last night when I got home. They're tall. They got this center named Carlson. I think it's Brandon Carlson. He's a shot blocker. He's pretty good. They're tall. They're not incredibly athletic, but have you seen Utah at all?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit. And, again, they're just going to be a different look for us.
They are.
And, you know, we've seen obviously Edie and some big guys in the Big Ten, but we're going to definitely have to slow them down. So, you know, I would imagine Fran and those guys might have to throw some interesting things at them. But again, I think the way we run, I mean, we scored 91 points. We led the Big Ten in scoring, I think, again for, I don't know, was it fifth or sixth year in a row. Mm-hmm. They're talking about on the telecast last night. But man, we can get up that floor. And if we can get them running, I think it's always good. Just Jeff Settles alluded to this last night too. What's nice about tournament play, when you play Big Ten teams, they know everybody on our roster and we know them.
Yep.
It's kind of nice to play somebody totally different.
Yeah.
That, again, in the early beginnings, they were given Peyton.
That's what Peyton said. He said they didn't know him. They didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, it was real interesting to watch. Very, as has been mentioned, K-State was extremely athletic.
They were.
And
they figured Peyton out a little bit in the second half, but like Peyton said, they needed a half because there's not much scouting reports done in this setup.
And yeah, Utah's very different, and it's going to be a real challenge, though.
And it's on the road. Yep. I mean, that's a long road trip. But one thing I will say though, the bench is being shortened. The freshman now, Dembele and Owen are playing. You didn't see a lot of Harding or a lot of Price Sanford. But, Adam, I wanted to ask you, one of my biggest complaints about what's going on offense right now, and it was really happening to Dix, way too much dribbling by the point guard to begin offense. There were times when it was because the guy guarding him was so athletic, and I still don't think Josh is a point guard but you saw what I talk about. Adam, am I reading too much, or is there just – it seems like there's times where there's too much dribbling.
Yeah, and I don't know what setup they were trying to do. We were kind of going into like a little bit of a horn set at times, mm-hmm. too, where you bring up the high post, you got two high posts, and either they're coming off a pick and roll. But, I mean, they came at Josh right away as he was coming across, and they were just getting up in him. And then he was kind of doing that move where he's going side to side behind his back, but he really wasn't going north-south. It was a lot of east-west on the floor. And so I'm with you. I mean, at some of those – you know, times you've got to get it out of your hands and get into that offense where you've got to get it to a wing and you've got to cut through and then get that offense started, because you're right. I mean, there was 10, 12 seconds there where we weren't moving or doing anything. Nothing. And he's just out there on an island.
And that Harding, happened a lot.
And Harding's been doing a lot of that lately. And you saw Fran put him in. He dribbled too deep, turned over the ball. Did he play again after that?
You only played in the first half, I think. Okay. Three minutes and change.
And he turned the ball over. Yep. And I thought Brock has shown some nice things this year. Don't get me wrong, but I thought he dribbled way too much up at the Big Ten tournament. Just too much stagnant. Just the offense standing still. But they'll work on that. They still threw. I mean, how many points they scored last night? I mean,
82.
Yeah. So I mean, they can still.
We had 91. They had
91, 82. So they still scored a lot of points. Adam, I wanted to ask you. You know, everything the big dance is everybody's dream. It's the ultimate of. The NIT doesn't compare. I get all that. But I'll tell you what, I'd much rather be the Iowa Hawkeyes right now than the Virginia Cavaliers.
You bet.
And Virginia made the NCAA tournament. But your thoughts on that? I mean, and obviously the selection committee blew it with Virginia. They didn't deserve to be in.
No, and then you just saw that all kind of play out. I mean, I'm sure they were disappointed about having a play-in game and then to just get rolled by Colorado State last night. I'm with you. I mean, you still want to make the tournament. It shows the body of work that you've done all year. But, you know, with the situation right now, I mean, Iowa can make a nice little run. If you're excited about this tournament and you want to do something, I mean, you could be playing at Hinkle Fieldhouse in the Final Four in the NIT, and you can kind of make a name for yourself and use this as, you know, kind of propel you into next year, because we got a lot of these guys coming back.
When I haven't seen the bracket. Indiana State's in, right? They accept. Yes. When would Iowa play Indiana State in the bracket? Would it be in the final?
That would be in the Final Four.
That would be in the Final Four. Would it be the championship game?
No, they're on our side of the bracket.
Okay. It would be the semifinals.
Okay, imagine that crowd in the Hinkle Fieldhouse if that's Iowa versus Indiana. I think don't you think that place will be rocking?
I think it'd be cool.
I really
that might even be. If we can make it there, that might be a trip over. And
yeah.
I'd take my boys and stuff just to get a chance to go in there. I mean, they've all seen the movie Hoosiers. And
sure.
It would be a neat environment.
Have you been inside Hinkle?
I have not.
I haven't either.
First thing you walk in there, first thing you see is Lick with his head buried. I don't know why. Why did I say that, Captain? That wasn't very nice, was it? Uh-oh, Captain's getting involved. You're going to talk about how you saw him in Hy-Vee and he was always nice to you, right?
He was very nice to me. He was.
I liked him too. He was great to me. Even when I left my senior year, him and his staff came in and they couldn't have been any better.
That doesn't surprise me.
Inviting me in on stuff. Even when I came back in the off season, they were so good to myself and family. They were good people.
No, you're right. I kid because I care. That's the only reason I can't get.
Well, and my son was there, and he's like pushing the card and.
You know how the kids.
But
like
he was doing it really slow, though, wasn't he?
Why did you wreck my setup?
Oh, I'm sorry. I stole your punchline, didn't I? I'm sorry. All right.
Yeah, Coach Linklater said, slow down, Shane.
Well, hey, let's brief. I want to talk to you about the NCAA. And, there's a chance Iowa State and Drake could meet in the second round. I mean, it's not going to be easy. I mean, Drake's got to beat a good Washington State team. And I think we. The other thing, and we hadn't talked to Adam about this, but I just think it's hilarious what the NCAA selection committee did to Nebraska.
With the Texas A&M twice?
In both. What's your thoughts on that? They're playing Texas A&M in both the men and women with Trev Alberts going down there. Isn't that hilarious?
I think they set some of that stuff up. I mean, even like on the women's side with Iowa, it seems like they had some storylines kind of already in place.
Sure did.
And hey, I think that's great.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there was some thought in it. I don't think it was just thrown out there. I mean, I think it just looks like that anyway. I don't think by chance you have all these different things that kind of add up, but no, I think it's interesting, and I'm anxious to watch Iowa State, man. I mean, they are playing really well right now, and we've known since we played them in December how good they were, but I just think they've gotten better and better, and that defense is tough, and teams like that are dangerous when you get into tournament time.
And Adam, they are men, literally. And some of those guys are 24. They got some old guys on that roster, and they've managed to just fit the pieces
together.
You can
get them to blend, man. Yeah. It's an incredible job.
I mean,
this
Keyshawn Gilbert, the transfer from UNLV, you've seen him play. He is the real deal. He's really good.
He is, and those guys do play well together.
They do.
With Lipsy, and I mean, it is. It's the puzzle pieces coming together, and I think that's where – you got to give TJ and that staff a lot of credit. They've managed to do that, and from day one, those guys were locked in on defense, and they've gotten better offensively. They got tons of weapons, guys that can score. When you got good guard play and you've got your bigs and wings playing well, I just think it's a good time to get hot because, again, we've been in the tournament. I think you need a good scoring point guard. You need some of these other guys to step up, and I think they've got the right tools.
Just curious, just your thoughts on Drake. What have you seen from them?
Yeah, I like Drake a lot. I mean, they're a gritty team, and I think again, they're one of those dangerous teams that nobody really has seen probably a lot of game film on, and you got a few days to prep. They're hot. DeVries is a good player. I mean, he can score with the best of them. So this is what makes this tournament great. I mean, any given day, some of these guys can get knocked off. So I've got Drake and Iowa State meeting, so my pool's going.
Is DeVries an NBA hopeful, you think? You think he's got a chance? He's 6'7". Different player than Peyton.
Different, but you never know. I mean, again, this league is so different than what it used to be and what they're looking for. But a guy like Peyton, he's a shooter. I mean, and look at last night. I mean, he's an effort guy, kind of like Ryan Bowen-esque.
Yeah.
Not the same player, but he has 12 rebounds last night.
Yeah.
He's not the most athletic guy out there, but he is just working for position and tips. And, you know, he had some big possessions in there where he just kept the ball alive. Same thing with DeVries. Some of these guys just work their butts off, you know, and are just gritty, hard, defensive. I mean, you find a little specialty in that league, you can stick.
You have a unique perspective from that, having played it out.
I just got somebody forwarded me an article on how much money ESPN now is losing on the NIT because these teams didn't show up. It's in the millions.
Wow.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, I mean,
it is unfortunate.
They're going to have to figure something out. Adam, before we wrap up, I told you we're having a Iowa sprinter on, Kalen Walker, at 10 o'clock. He just broke the program record, 10.09. He also finished second in the indoor Big Ten 60. He's a junior college transfer from Indian Hills, grew up in Eddyville. But you know, as somebody who used to be a star sprinter, 10.09 is pretty impressive, isn't it?
Oh, you're in a different level.
Do you know anything about Kalen?
Especially when you can see him in the 60, you know, what he's able to do, and we kind of talked about that before, the start is so important on those short races. But for him to run a 10.09 and, you know, break the school record, there's been some really impressive guys come through. Tim Dwight, you know, and there's been a long list of sprinters that have come through this university. He's definitely making a name for himself, and it's exciting to see what he's doing, you know, in this year already. It's early. Season's early.
What's harder, do you think, winning a 60-meter dash or winning 100? Is it 60 because the start is so perfect you have to have it?
For me, it would have been the 60 would have been tougher because the start has to be perfect. And I was just always taller and longer. And it's the start is everything. I needed to unwind a little bit. some of these guys that are just compact and explosive, they just pop right out of there. So, yeah, for me, the longer would have been better, but it'll be interesting to see what he says.
I remember, I mean, I was working at the Press Citizen when covering state track meets, and it was just so odd watching you at 6'4", running against guys 5'7", 5'8". It was just, you were not your typical sprinter, but then I look, you Usain Bolt, isn't he really, he's pretty tall too, isn't he about 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, he might even be 6'5 or so. Yeah, he's long and super athletic, right? I mean, he's sure. been just the turnover that he's got on those legs. He's covering so much ground on each stride. But, yeah, and I think for him, he'd probably even be the same way. I mean, the longer that race goes, you're kind of unwinding. I remember Calvin Davis, Iowa City high kid.
Yeah, he was good.
He was one of those two that you just knew you could probably get him out of the blocks, but he was gonna come running downhill and he was gonna catch you.
One last question: if you're running a 10.09 like you, how much in the back of your head is, man, I could maybe someday break 10 seconds? What's the distance between 10.09 and breaking? How hard is that?
Well, not knowing. I mean, it's one of those where if he can break it down and he thinks, hey, my start wasn't great, or you know, obviously the weather's gonna keep getting better, right? Early in the season, that was the biggest thing for me, too, coming off of basketball. Now I know these guys had indoor and all that, but you're going to get better as the season goes, mm-hmm. and they're going to, you know, really work with these guys and then taper towards the end to make sure they're competing at their best, you know, come May, June, whenever nationals start setting in. But I would think with the improvement he's made from high school, then junior college into this, and he's got some of the best coaches in the world working with him, I think it's there. Especially in 100, you can always improve a little bit here and there, and you get some nice days and maybe a little wind behind your back, not enough to disqualify sure. it, you know, but you get good conditions, it can certainly happen.
Well, great. Great stuff as usual, Adam. I like the basketball track perspective and appreciate it. And let's try to do this again next week. And hopefully the men will still be playing, the women still be playing, and I'll be in touch. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, yep. Have a good week, guys. We'll see you.
Thanks, Adam.
Bye.
Should we take a break and then I'll give you the number
sure.
to call? I told him we'd call right around 10. Or you ready for a break, Captain?
Yeah,
are you ready to keep grinding?
Oh, we'll take a break and then we'll
there's going to be a lot of grinding.
Grind. We'll be back.
1-800-800-ROSE.
1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist, is the only number you need to know to send flowers anywhere in the country or Canada from anywhere in the country.
1-800-800-ROSE.
It's so easy. Just remember one number, 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist.
1-800-800-ROSE.
Remember.
For a gift that your loved one will treasure for a lifetime, find it at our family-owned jewelry store in Iowa City, Pertine and Stocker Jewelers.
We can show you diamond engagement rings, colored stones, fashion jewelry, and watches.
Our jewelers are on site, so we can design jewelry for that special person in your life.
We are Pertine and Stocker, serving Iowa City and the surrounding area for 3 generations.
Pertine and Stocker Jewelers, downtown Iowa City, and PertineandStockerJewelers.com. Ask for Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of us is always there.
Don't wait for an emergency to get a backup for your car keys. Unlike the olden days, car keys have gotten extremely complex. Mike's eKeys for Cars can generate the most technically advanced automotive keys that are on the market today. For spares and lost keys, Mike's eKeys for Cars can produce most conventional transponder, high security, and remote head keys. Mike's eKeys for Cars will keep you on the road. Call 319-330-9185 and schedule an appointment today. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 319-330-9185 today.
Are you tired of living in a home that doesn't quite meet your needs? Then it's time to call the experts at Streets Maintenance. Their team of skilled professionals specializes in renovations and remodeling, transforming your home into the space you've always dreamed of. From kitchen bath remodels to complete home renovations, no job is too big or too small. Streets Maintenance will work with you every step of the way to ensure your vision becomes a reality. So don't wait any longer. Call Streets Maintenance to schedule your consultation at 400-4483. Let's start building your dream home today.
Once upon a time in the land of the Hawkeyes, a business grew. A business that would become synonymous with real estate. Hi, I'm Steve Anderson of Hawkeye Title and Settlement. When you're buying or selling your home, you'll need title and settlement services. Consider the Hawkeye Title and Settlement Team. Give us a call at 351-8600. Hawkeye Title and Settlement. The team you love, the people you trust.
Don't let just anyone take care of your smile. At Diamond Dental, you can expect compassion, expertise, and a personalized care plan to protect your teeth for life. With more than 30 years of combined experience, Dr. Forbes and his staff are prepared to tackle even your toughest dental problems, leaving your smile healthy and sparkling. Diamond Dental offers a full range of general and cosmetic dentistry, as well as dental treatment options for snoring and sleep apnea. It's never too early to start thinking about what's best for your smile. Schedule an appointment today by calling 319-390-3703 or visiting the office at 5815 Consul Street Northeast, Suite D1 in Cedar Rapids. You can also visit DiamondDentalPC.com for more information. Dr. Forbes is a proud sponsor of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club and the Inner Circle. Let the Diamond Dental Team provide superior care for your entire family.
Car won't go into gear? Call Premier. Premier Automotive in North Liberty offers full-service mechanical auto repair, in addition to being Eastern Iowa's most trusted name in auto body repair. Use Premier for all your auto repair needs. Brakes, oil changes, air conditioning, diagnostics, transmissions, or preventative maintenance. Whether you hit a deer or your car won't go into gear, see Premier Automotive in North Liberty. When you go to a family restaurant, you want three things. One, a wide selection of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items. Two, you want those selections to be affordable and delicious. And three, you want to be treated like family. You get all three at the Midtown Family Restaurant. Breakfast items available anytime the doors are open. Legendary tenderloins, onion rings, and hot roast beef sandwiches. And special ribeye and shrimp nights. Daily specials at each location. And no matter if you're coming in solo or with a group of 20, you get the same special family treatment. The Midtown Family Restaurants at Court and Scott Streets and at the Walmart Plaza on Highway 1 West. Follow them on Facebook or at MidtownFamily.com. The family's waiting for you.
GT Car, owner of Supple's Building and Remodeling, has been offering unmatched service and quality for over 25 years. The trained professionals at Supple's Building and Remodeling will install and guarantee the products used in any job, no matter how big or small. They also stand behind their work and offer no-nonsense, exceptional customer service from design to completion and beyond. Whether it's a simple window replacement or a major house addition, you'll have the confidence that Supple's Building and Remodeling is committed to quality. Visit Supple's.net. Or call them today at 319-337-2246.
Truck month at Deary Ford in Iowa City. Bring in your tax refund and save. Buy a new 2022 Ford F-150 with 0% financing and up to $8,000 off. We have over 75 top quality used vehicles. Trucks starting at $59.90 and cars from $49.90. Payments from $199 a month with zero down. Truck month at Deary Ford in Iowa City. Hurry in or shop online at DeareyFord.com.
84 years of preparation, the wait is over. The Oxyokin's brand new book, Our Recipes, Our Story, is on sale now. 90 pages in full color, 67 recipes, and our unique history for only $24.99. Get yours while they last at the Oxyokin. Available soon by mail order, along with our current serving hours at Oxyokin.com.
The Oxyokin.
Oxyokin, in the heart of a man.
From the Hurteen and Stocker Studios, in the heart of the Hawkeye Nation, this is the mighty 1630 KCJJ, Iowa City.
Hurteen and Stocker Jewelers, making memories, making moments.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 42 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at around 10 to 20, backing off a little bit by later this afternoon. Tonight, 24. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with some snow showers developing in the afternoon. Our high near 45. We'll see rain and snow tomorrow night with some rain likely Friday. We'll get to 47 Friday, then keeping an eye on a system that could bring more rain, snow, and thunderstorms Sunday, Monday into Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable on the mighty 1630 KCJJ. Temperature now 30.
KCJJ weather brought to you by Plum Supply.
Plum Supply, kitchens and baths. Your home never looks so beautiful.
We are back.
Are we officially back, or is this an unofficial?
We're officially back. Now, what were you telling about me in your 20s and 30s?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Those were the days. Those were the days, my friend. We thought,
guy.
Who sings that song?
Mary Hopkins. Singular.
Yeah. I don't care.
I didn't like that song.
I hated that
No,
song.
I did. Did you like
Oh, that? I loved that song.
Yeah. Why would you like that song?
It's a neat song. It's a neat, it's very evocative of a mood and a time.
Yeah. I thought it was an great old time. Yeah.
No, I love that song.
Oh. I love Break My Stride.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
I don't like either one.
No, I really don't.
What about Lobo?
No.
No.
Me and You and a Dog Named Blue? Or no, You.
Boo.
And, Boo. Boo, I mean. Boo. I always say Blue. I don't know why. Yeah, it's Me and You and a Dog Named Boo.
Boo.
Does Boo die in that song?
No.
Who knows?
Does it die?
I never made it to the end of it. Yeah, so.
Isn't Shannon about a dog, too?
Yeah.
And Shannon is dead.
Yeah.
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 That song's nauseating.
Yeah.
Screaming, just screaming. It's all just screaming.
Yeah. Shannon is gone.
As Shannon's the dog, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
My favorite dog song is Peppy Hush by Leo Kottke. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
It's a really good song.
I think, as a rule, dog songs aren't very good.
Especially if they die.
I think if we were to
line
all the dog songs up, you know, Who Let the Dogs Out.
Oh, I hate that song.
Well, at least they don't die.
We don't know that.
Yeah.
And
like I said, there's only been, I don't like seeing dogs in pain, but I will make the exception in The Water Horse. It didn't bug me that it appeared that dog met its demise in The Water Horse. Did that bug you? I didn't like that.
No, that dog deserved it.
It was mean.
That dog deserved to go down.
The dog was mean. It picked on Crusoe when Crusoe was little. But that dog didn't know that he was picking on the Loch Ness Monster at the time. And next thing you know, Crusoe's, the size of three houses? And
I'm just sorry that we didn't get a chance to see the dog actually go down.
I did not want to see that. I did not want to see that. It's left to our imagination. Now, Crusoe may have said, hey, move on. I'm not going to eat you. But you notice the barking never happened again.
No.
No. That's the only time I can live with a dog being treated, usually. But like I said, he was mean.
Jesus. I don't know.
The doggy transfer portal. You think there'll ever be one of those where pets can trade families?
Well, there should be.
I mean, Lily and you imagine Lily and Wopsy transferring from one. You take
one
Lily,
house to another.
How would Wopsy handle your place?
Same thing as Lily, just barking butterflies.
How would Lily handle your place?
I think she and the cats would get along. She'd be fine.
Listen, she gets along with all wildlife.
How would the hare do at your place?
I would have to vacuum more often, which I would not be happy with.
He'd come in. Just like I come in.
Yeah.
I have to ask the God, sometimes I have changed my T-shirt, you know, twice in a day. Just because.
I like the one time I met Lily, I remember petting her and then the hare, you tap her on the back and the hare just flies up. I mean, it just...
No, it was like Pigpen and Peanuts.
She is such a good... I mean, seriously, she gets along with wildlife. She will make sure when I fill her pan of water, she will look at the cat, and the cat always wants to take the water first, and she will sit down and let the cat do it. She is very... She's a wonderful dog.
I heard you... But she wasn't better than... She's not better than Buddy and Lakota were. They were better dogs.
She's not ripping up wildlife.
Buddy did kill a pack of bunnies one time, but for the most part, Buddy was peaceful. Lakota had issues, but still a lover.
Lakota had issues.
She had some issues with other animals. No issues. Loved people.
Yeah.
Lakota loved people. Just had issues with animals.
Well, sometimes instincts take animals in the wrong direction.
That's true. Just like that black chow I had years ago. She loved people, just didn't like other dogs besides the one that she lived with. You know, she had to accept that one. But other dogs each dog's different. They're like us.
Yeah. No, they really are.
Yeah, they really are. Each dog. I mean,
and they've got their own society going, and it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't make sense to us.
I'll say I saw something funny on X the other day. I'm just calling it X, Twitter. It was a video. I don't know if these things are staged or whatever, but they show this family. They're stopped out in some road out in the mountains, and there's two big massive buffalo just kind of grazing. And all of a sudden, they show their dog must have gotten loose, or they let it loose, and it was a pretty big pit bull, a big tough. And this pit bull just goes flying toward this big, huge buffalo, and literally jumps up to start attacking its head. This buffalo, that one hurl, and this pit bull just goes flying. And you could tell it was knocked silly, and it just runs away. Back. The buffalo basically said, just get the way. Get the hell out
just
of here.
Just go away.
The strength was incredible because that pit bull was going at such force, and the thing basically just moved its head a little bit, and it just went flying. And it said, get out of here. And then the funny thing is, I think the pit bull's name was Richard, because the people were like, Richard, what are you doing? Get back here. And Richard. It couldn't get back there fast enough. And then the reactions of the people underneath was, I'm just happy to know there was a pit bull named Richard. I thought that was pretty funny.
Richard, go get your leash and your book. And
But, I mean, the strength of this buffalo was incredible. Yeah. I mean, how easy.
Yeah, it's just a buffalo.
It's a massive buffalo. Yes. I mean,
I do like the Buffalo Wild Wings commercials.
Actually, yeah. I do, too.
I'm sort of the one where he's sitting at the bar yelling and screaming, taking up a lot of
space. And then knocking down the – I love the character.
Yeah. Taking up a lot of space.
Those are great commercials, and there's the one where they're waiting for the box of Chewy, and the dog is sitting on a couch.
I saw that.
And he keeps pronouncing Vaz. And his owner goes, it's Vase,
I've seen
the
that.
Dog's just trying to.
Yeah, I don't mind those ones. They're kind of growing on me a little. I just think it's funny how big he is and how much room he's taking. And he's loud at the bar.
Yeah.
Is he drunk?
Well, he's every blowhard that you've ever sat down and met at a bar. And just monopolizes the conversation and had no idea what he's talking about.
The problem is, though, this probably going to win most bar fights if a human picks
I would think,
the
well,
size
he,
of him.
Yes.
See the size of him?
Yeah. No, that's whoever thought of that is a great.
I think so, too. Yeah. But he actually hasn't ever taken a drink there, has he?
I have not seen him take a drink. Just mostly just talking and bugging people.
Seen him take a drink.
It's a buffalo.
Because he'd have to drink, have a whole pitcher as a beer.
I will make the
call. Okay, Kalen?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's close enough. I mean, told him right around 10. They said they were going to send him a reminder. But this is incredible. And we're going to, like I said, Rivaldo Marshall is scheduled to come on Friday. He was, I guess I've been told he's a little leery, he's never done radio. And I told the people at Iowa, I'm like, just tell him who we are. And they're like, we're explaining it to him. I mean, we're innocent. It's not going to be hard pressing. I just want to give a little exposure to student athletes that don't get. Track is not a fan media friendly sport, college track.
No.
They don't ever have any meets here.
Except the Olympics.
The Olympics. But what I'm saying is college stuff. When's the last time you went to a track meet involving Iowa and other Big Ten teams?
Honestly,
it doesn't happen.
When Larry Wozorek was running for Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, and it's
seriously.
It just doesn't happen a lot. There's not a lot of opportunities to watch track. And lots of times, they're always building towards the big meets at the end. So if there is a meet, they don't use a full roster. So I figure I want to give some.
And the main reason I was at that was because my cousin, Jerry Brower, was running for Minnesota.
Oh, did he run against Wiz?
No, Jerry was a sprinter, and Wiz was a long distance.
More, yeah.
Yeah, Kalen.
You got Kalen on?
Yes.
Kalen, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
This is Pat Hardy with Hawk Fanatic and KCJJ Radio. You got Tom Suter, and we got Captain Steve here. First of all, appreciate you coming on. I know you guys are busy, but, man, I've been watching your development. And we just had Adam Haluska on, a former Iowa basketball player who was a star sprinter in high school. I think he ran a 10-2, 10-1 in high school. And he was talking about he's been watching your development. I mean, it's been incredible. Just what has been the keys? Why have you been steadily making this progress? I mean, just talk about your development here these last months.
I think most of it's just surrounding myself with quality people. Like Coach Woody's really, really good. And the trainers and my teammates are all really good, really high quality people. I think just learning from my mistakes is, watching my races or my practice videos and just, finding things that I'm doing wrong and figuring out how I can fix them. So,
did you always think you had this in you? I mean, that you could reach this level?
I don't know. In high school, I don't think I had any D1 offers or D2 offers. So it seemed a little far-fetched at that point, but at Indian Hills, I kind of started dropping some time, and it started looking a little more realistic. And then I started kind of believing myself a little more at that point.
So do you have a favorite event? I know you finished second in the Big Ten Indoor 60, and Adam was talking about he thinks that's a harder race than the 100 because
for him,
the start, for him, because he was really tall. He's like 6'5", but the start is so big in the 60. Talk about the importance of getting off to a good start in a race like that.
It's really important because, like, you got to, like, carry the momentum down the stretch. So, like, building up the momentum in the first part of the race. I literally feel like, in the, especially in the 60, like, all the work is done, like, halfway through the race.
Really?
I'm just carrying it through the line.
So, you
know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, and when you're in the middle of a race, can you tell, man, yep, this is going well. Everything's working. Like, 50 minutes into 100, can you tell that that things are working the right way?
Oh yeah, dude! I can feel it. Like, if I set it up well, it's so fun going down the stretch. You know it's gonna happen.
So when you looked up and saw that 10.09, I mean, that's
just incredible.
Incredible. I mean, what was your reaction to that?
I kind of expected it, honestly. I think I'm capable of a lot more this season. I was kind of like a kind of go have fun meet right after Nationals. I hadn't even gone home yet. We literally went straight from Boston at Nationals to Tampa. Just went out and ran. Wow.
So have you given the thought that maybe, just maybe, you could get below 10?
That's what we were asking. Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think that's a possibility for sure. Hopefully I can get that down into like the low 9.9s and maybe high 9.8s.
I've actually had two or three people text when we announced we were going to have you on. They want to know, hey, can you catch the football? And
I've seen some comments. Yeah, I've seen some comments on my post.
did you play football?
Yeah, I did. I did. The only problem is I'm going to need like 30 or 40 pounds extra. Somebody could like borrow some of that from me.
Yeah, no, but I thought that was funny though when we, because I mean, you know, speed is, you can't replace speed. And you talked about the culture here at Iowa. I mean, how important is that for a track athlete just to have the right people around you on a daily basis? I mean, talk about that, because I know Joey has got a good thing going here at the university.
Sure does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think like having a positive attitude is so, so important, and just making sure people are doing the right things like outside of practice, because like especially in track, like it's not like basketball where you can just go get shots up all day. Like we have like maybe like 3 or 4 reps and then we're fatigued and we have to let our body recover. So like outside of track, what are you doing that other like 22 hours of the day to take care of yourself, to make sure you bring yourself back like healthy the next day? And I think especially my group and the rest of the team too, we do a really good job of that, and we take care of ourselves. We do the right things outside of like outside of practice, outside of races. And I think that's really important.
How big is diet? How much is your diet a part of your daily approach?
It's pretty important. I think for me, it's like for everybody, it's a little different, because some people, you know, they have problems with like getting enough protein or getting enough, you know, calories. I think for me, it's definitely just making sure I eat enough, I think, because I don't know. I just feel like I have trouble like putting on weight and keeping on weight. Like I'll lose weight really fast. It feels like I'll eat like a Domino's pizza and I'll like lose like 5 pounds.
God, wouldn't that be nice?
That's something for me.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I think just finding, like what works for you and just like how your body works and just knowing your body.
So,
really important.
Diet-wise, how does a sprinter sprinter's diet differ from a distant runner's diet,
or does it?
Or yeah, maybe it doesn't.
Well, I don't really know what. Well, I ran JV cross country in high school, but I don't really know what a distance runner actually eats. But I think for me, I normally like to focus on just getting enough protein per day, and then I like to get like a lot of sugars. Like, a lot of people want to stay away from sugars, like, they're all going to get fat and whatever, but, like, for me, sugar is, like, a source of, like energy. Like, that's, like, your body goes to your sugar first. So I like to get enough sugar. I take creatine. It's, like, a supplement. I think every athlete takes it. And that's really all I focus on. Okay. I mean, other than that, just, you know. So, nothing too special.
So pizza and sugar. He's got the dream diet.
God,
the diet
sounds fabulous.
So.
Well, yeah, it's more complicated than that. I just simplify it for you.
No, I know.
Thank you.
But what does it mean to know that you've ran 100 meters faster than anybody to ever represent the Iowa track program. That's got to make you feel pretty proud.
Yeah, I think I don't really, like, it hasn't really set in for me. I don't think, yeah, I feel like I'm still, like, going up, like, rising. I feel like 10:09 is nothing for me right now, I feel like. But well, that, nice to feel like, yeah.
Well, that's the way to look at it. Now, do you know, I mean, obviously your goal is to win the NCAA, or to win the Big Ten Outdoor NCAA. So do you know, like, nationally, do you keep track of other competitors? What's he running? Where's he? Where am I? Do you keep track of that stuff pretty closely?
Yeah, I definitely do. Like, it doesn't really matter to me, like, what they run. Or if they run faster than me, it doesn't faze me. Like, I feel like I can still, you know, line up with them and, you know, probably beat them. But, like, I'm friends with a lot of, like, other sprinters in the nation, and seeing their progression is really cool to me. I think that's one of the biggest, like, one of my favorite parts of, like, track and field. Like, everybody gets a chance to, like, improve themselves, and seeing that PR is really, really cool to me. I know that feeling. It's a really good feeling, and I like to see other kids PR, so I follow it really closely.
Okay. So, Kalen, you have then less than a tenth of a second to trim off your record.
You're obsessed with this tenth.
I am, yep. Because it's such an incredible number. Where is that going to come from? Will it be from the start, or how are you going to get that tenth of a second?
Good question.
I think I have a lot of time to shave off at the end of my race. I haven't gone over 60 meters in practice or races until, like, last week, because I had surgery in the fall, or in the summer last year, and I was recovering in the fall, and I didn't really do much until, like, October. And then we're already getting into, like, indoor and racing. So I haven't gone over 60 meters at all. And I'm starting to get that into my training. And I think I'll be able to hold my speed a lot better in, like, a month or two.
I'm just curious. Has this unseasonably warm weather helped you adjust to the outdoor season? I mean, the baseball players talk about how it's been great. Does it have that same impact for track athletes?
Yeah, the weather does play a significant impact. Well, like I said, we were gone for like 2 weeks while it was nice, and then now it's cold again. So, but yeah, the warm weather really does help. Being outside on the track is a lot nicer than being inside.
Well, Kalen, this is a great story. I mean, we do have one more question for you before we wrap up, but this is going to be fun watching you this spring and watching your teammates, man. You guys got a good thing going, and it's really cool just watching somebody get better, just gradually get better through hard work. And we do have one question left that we ask any Iowa student-athlete we have on for the first time. Remember, it's a radio station, and this is not a sports-related question. So, Tom, take it away.
Okay. So, Kalen, you get a phone call, and it happens to be Beth Goetz, the new athletic director at the University of Iowa.
Oh, no.
And Beth says, hey, Kalen, I need your help. We need to get some money in here. We need to hire a band or an act or a singer to fill up Kinnick Stadium, and it's your job to get them in there. Who does Kalen Walker hire to fill up Kinnick Stadium?
Let me think.
It could be anybody. I mean, obviously somebody you like. I mean,
and we've had the answers have been all over. It's been astounding.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah, we've had some... Of course, Megan Gustafson with the Iowa Pep Band.
To Beth Goetz picked Taylor Swift.
Yeah, and Spencer Lee picked the theme song from Pokemon.
Let me think.
Okay.
Oh, I think I would pick my coach, Joey Woody.
Okay.
Him singing, like, karaoke or something.
Well,
I think that would be hilarious.
You think that would fill up Kinnick?
Well, I would buy a ticket.
All right.
Okay.
I like the team bonding there.
We'll have to get a hold of Joey you better get to work.
I'll let Joey know what you said. We may try to work out.
Take care of the marketing.
Yeah. There you go. No, that's a good answer. We appreciate it.
That's fun.
Hey, Kalen, like I said, it's great watching you succeed like this. Good luck. Stay healthy, and we'll be pulling for you.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Evan.
You bet.
Thank you, Kalen.
We didn't say you'd have to buy a ticket. Just fill it up.
I did not expect that answer.
No.
No.
Joey Woody singing karaoke. What songs?
I don't care. Anybody singing karaoke.
Yeah, I've never.
What about Taylor Swift singing karaoke? Do you think that'd fill up Kinnick?
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
I think Taylor Swift reading a book would fill up Kinnick.
Richard.
Okay.
She's walking up and down the field with the book out in front of her hand. No, that was fun though. And
no, seems like a great kid.
And he seems pretty confident that someday he's going to break town.
Well, he sure does.
I never thought I would see that from an Iowa track athlete in college. If he breaks 10 seconds, that's going to be a huge story. Now he has to stay healthy. But yeah, no.
Do you know what the world record is for them?
Well, for the 100, isn't it 9.5? Jesus. I mean, let me see what he said. I'll look it up. What'd you get for dinner?
I had rest of Ann's soup.
Did you?
Yes.
Is it still good?
Yes.
Yeah, it is good. It's even better.
Damn good.
The damn second good. Time around, yeah, I think.
It was what good. Kind of soup?
Chicken noodle soup. It really is incredible.
So my God, that's what I had last night.
Let's see. The current men's world record is 9.58 seconds by Usain Bolt.
9.58.
9.58.
Hello.
Yeah, I think Taylor Swift's boyfriend singing Viva Las Vegas with Philip Kinnick.
Oh, Travis Kelce?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Right, that'd be interesting. All right.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's. He seems just like a real down to earth.
Who are we talking about now?
Kaylin.
Kaylin? Yeah, no, that was a fun
just
interview.
Real down to earth.
Yeah. My guess is that may have been the first radio interview he's ever done.
9.58. And he put up that kind of a time without practicing that distance.
Yeah, no, it's.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, and like he told us, he was not recruited in high school. He started to blossom and he showed a little potential in junior college, and now he's come here, and they have just tapped whatever reservoir of talent he has, and it's amazing watching him develop. I've always been a big fan of sprints and track and stuff. I've always loved the sprint. I used to love the long jump. The long jump used to be a glamour event.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't old enough to remember when Bob Beamon broke the record.
I remember it.
But I was old enough to remember the fallout 2 and 3 years later when people would be like, this record would never get broke, and it was eventually broke like 30 years later, but that guy broke it like with one jump, and hardly ever has anyone approached that record other than Mike Powell breaking it that one time. It's incredible. So, no, this is fun. I mean, it's neat. And I did, when I announced that we were going to have him on, the first three tweets I got, can he catch passes? You know, fans are just, they want that speed. I get it, you know?
You know, that typically doesn't necessarily translate.
No.
I mean, they're different skills. Yes, speed is great, but...
He's got to be able to do a lot of other stuff.
No, there's been track athletes that have tried to make the... Remember Ronaldo Nehemiah?
I do.
That, I mean, he actually made it to the NFL.
I do.
But most... It's not that easy. It's not that easy just to do both. I mean, and Kalen's not real big either. I was sort of joking. I mean, but man, could you imagine? He says that he can eat a Domino's pizza and lose 5 pounds.
Well,
that's not fair.
No, not at all.
That's not fair. He says he wants sugar, gives him energy and makes him feel better.
I can look at a pizza and gain 5 pounds.
My doctor told me that sugar is not my friend, and it's not good for me. And here this kid.
See, I used to be able to eat a knock back a large pizza every night and not even gain an ounce.
No.
In my 20s and 30s. But even I remember I put on that freshman. I mean, I ate a lot of Paul Revere's back in early 80s at Drake. Their stuff was great. I mean, when I came up here, they don't advertise really anymore.
Was that one that was real close to the campus?
They had the best. They had these things called wedgies. They were kind of calzones.
Yeah.
They were incredible, other than the fact that you would get fifth-degree burns.
Yeah,
especially if you were drunk late at night and you couldn't. They were so good, you'd bite into it. And you'd wake up the next day, you'd have blisters all over your gums from eating them. But they were great.
I was thin until I came here. You know,
I started to put on a little, because I wasn't playing sports year round. I did exercise. I played a lot of intramural basketball, but I also drank a ton. I ate a ton, and I put on a little weight. But now this kid too. In fairness, how many calories do you think he burns a day?
Yeah, that's true.
But still, it's great to be young.
Yeah,
you know. And he gave Domino's a plug. He said Domino's.
Domino's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we have in the auction.
Yeah.
There you go. When's the next auction?
Their wings are supposed to be really good. I haven't had them yet.
I've had them. They're good. They're fine. Yeah. I've told you before, though, I love Pizza Hut's wings.
I think our auction's like April 19th.
Okay, so we got to. I always worry about getting a guest on a Friday if it's been a while since the last one. But I didn't think, because like I said, we're supposed to have Rivaldo Marshall on this Friday to talk about winning the 800 meter. It'll be interesting, assuming we have him on, to see kind of how he compares with Kalen and how they approach their – Because it's like you said, it's a different event. 800 different than
it is completely different.
Different skill set and what have you. But no, Joe. I mean, they finished ninth at the indoor. I mean, Joey's got a good thing going here. I mean, it's pretty much now the standard is you expect Iowa track to be competitive in the Big Ten now, and we all know there was a long stretch where that wasn't the case.
That's right.
You know, and then the baseball team, poor Grandview. I mean,
that was just a bloodbath.
Yeah, I mean, they beat them 25-3, which was, I mean,
too bad.
Listen to you. Yeah, but I thought about going to Grandview. That's where a bunch of my teammates from high school went and played NIAA baseball, and they did really well. They made it to, I think they may have made it to the, now I just didn't have it in me. I'm like, I don't want to keep playing baseball. I don't want to go to a small, I feel bad. You know the difference in, I mean, Grandview, those guys that played for Grandview were all pretty good high school baseball, but there's just a big gap. And now Iowa, they got a little momentum. The series with Purdue, they're at Purdue this weekend, right?
Yes.
You can't lose this series. I mean, that'll just be a momentum killer after they've struggled in the non-conference.
But they don't have to sweep, though.
They don't have to sweep. They just, I mean, no. I mean, hell, they could get swept and then come back and win. So what I'm saying, though, is they need to get some momentum going. They need to. They haven't been able to build any momentum. And they haven't beaten many good teams yet. They've lost to most of the good teams they've played. So,
yeah.
And I don't think Purdue, I don't think they're a juggernaut. I'm not sure exactly where they kind of
stand. I don't know for sure either, but typically you don't hear a lot preseason about Purdue.
You hear a lot about Indiana. You hear a lot about Nebraska. And
Michigan.
Maryland and Rutgers and Michigan. Not much about Purdue. So to me, this is one where you got to try to at least get 2 out of 3 just to get some momentum out of the gate. And that is at Purdue. Well, what's the weather like this weekend? It's probably...
Here?
Yeah, is it going to be nice this weekend?
Upper 40s and rain on Friday.
That would not be good for baseball.
Sunny low 40s on Saturday.
You could get by.
Snow and rain and a snow mix, and then upper 40s on Sunday.
So, okay, so everything will melt during the day, but low 40s is too cold for baseball. It's just not pleasant weather for baseball. So I don't know what it's going to be like in West Lafayette. Probably similar, but... So we'll see. And then you got the NCAA Wrestling Championships this weekend. I mean, obviously the goal is to win it, but I think if Iowa could finish second, that would be
huge.
A huge accomplishment because I just think Penn State's unbeatable. But second's no guarantee. The way they're wrestling right now, it is no guarantee.
Because then we've got the women's basketball tournament here this weekend.
Saturday and Monday.
Our portion of it, yeah.
And the Iowa game, what time on Saturday?
Let's see.
Is it 2 or 4?
It says 2.
2, okay.
West Lafayette's basically the same.
Same, okay. And then I know we're assuming they're going to have press conferences on Friday. They usually have them the day before, so I'll go over there with Susan and cover that.
So what do you think of the West Virginia coach throwing shade at Caitlin? Did you hear what he said?
I did not.
He said, well, we're going to go in there, we're going to win one, and then we're going to send Caitlin Clark packing. And that was his message to his team.
You know, you gotta be confident.
And they loved it.
And I don't have a problem with it.
I think it's funny.
I'm guessing Caitlin saw that and said, hey, great, bring it on. Bring it on, let's do it. That's funny. I don't have a problem with that.
Rob Howe, before we start accusing a kid, this goes back to Proctor.
Did you see the
stealing NIL money?
Did you see the responses Rob got after that?
Yeah.
So did you see some kid's last name, I think, was Wilson? You can't read the comment. It was just a ridiculous comment from some clown.
Well, not one penny came from the NIL Collective, which is the regular fans giving to the collective. Not one penny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, some of the remarks that Rob received were just typical Twitter crap.
Just stupid.
You know, I mean, I've never interviewed Caden Proctor. I mean, I'm not going to judge the kid. He did what he did.
Nice.
Now I just want him to kind of just go away.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Just stay away now. I mean, my guess is Iowa wouldn't take him back again.
I would hope not.
And if he did something like that, then that's when you say, okay, this is ridiculous. But like I said, I still can't figure out how he's going to be eligible. How are the credits going to transfer? Don't you have to pass at least 14 credit hours a semester to stay on the eligibility? How's he going to get those credit hours when he leaves right in the middle of a semester and goes to a different school?
And yesterday,
Isn't he going to get F's in all those classes unless he can? And then can you go and be enrolled in another school and another school at the same time?
I don't know.
The legislature in Alabama passed a law outlawing diversity education instruction. And there is a Republican, I can't remember the names, a Republican and a Democrat that are urging black athletes to not go to Alabama. The Republican said, I've been a fan of Alabama all my life. I would urge any black athlete to look elsewhere.
Well, I look at Alabama. They offered their first Wilbur Jackson was the first African-American to get a scholarship from Alabama, and it was like 1970, I believe.
I think
Kenny Holbrook played at Iowa in the late 1800s. I've never understood. To me, northern schools with Iowa's, I know Iowa had that little glitch there in 20, but I still say that was an isolated thing. I still think these northern schools like Iowa should use that to their advantage. I mean, schools like Alabama, their rosters now are 90%. They didn't even, I mean, it was 1970s is a long time ago, I get it, but it's also not that long ago in some ways, too. Mm-hmm. And to think that Alabama didn't even want blacks on their roster until 1970, you imagine Alabama trying to play without blacks now? I mean, think about it. I mean, yeah. I'm trying to do anything in football, I mean, it's just, but incredible. No, it's crazy. I mean,
hello.
Pat, you brought up a good comment I've thought up before many times. When is the last time we've heard of any athlete academically ineligible to play? With all this portal stuff, is you just wonder if it's getting kind of swept under the rug?
Of course it is.
I think it is.
Yeah, because you don't hear of it anymore like you used to. It used to be every semester you worried about, who's going to be ineligible.
Well, no, we did. Now, Michigan did suspend that Doug McDaniel, but they didn't let him go on road games, but he was supposedly suspended for not going to class.
Yes.
So maybe his grades were suffering. But you're right, though. We're not hearing about this near as much, and I still – somebody needs to explain to me how you can transfer – from one school to another in semester as a student. I don't get it. One scholarship. I don't get it.
Don't worry. The NCAA, they'll take care of it. They'll look into it.
Sure they will.
They'll get taken care of, no problem at all.
Thank God for the NCAA, right?
You bet, yeah. We can rely on them. All right,
sense
later,
a little
boy.
Sarcasm. Thank you. Is there a little sarcasm in that exchange there? What do you got, Captain?
I'm trying to remember what the exact quote was, but it was pretty...
It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, but because you look at an Alabama football roster, it's 80% black.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Iowa's roster, it's probably 70% white.
And I noticed last night that K-State was 100% black.
Yeah.
Which is a little unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, they do have a black head coach.
Yeah.
And, there are more blacks. I mean, there's a lot of blacks playing college basketball at the high level.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, there's usually one white guy.
Token.
Can we call him a token?
Token.
You know, little Johnny with the hair parted on the side sitting at the end of the bench.
Yeah. Hello. I think we can say that.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. It's not the old days with the hours of credit. They only need 6 credit hours each term to be eligible.
Just 6?
6?
6, and they're thinking about moving it up to 8, yes.
Didn't it used to be 14 or 12?
Used to be 12 for many years, but it's only 6 now.
Wow.
Okay, but even with that, though, so could you see him going down to Alabama but still taking maybe 2 online classes at Iowa while he's down there to get those 6 credit hours to transfer?
No, I doubt it.
So how would he get those credit hours if he's just leaving Iowa mid-semester? My guess is he'll get F's in all those. How does that work?
I don't have a clue.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. I wasn't aware of that. But, yeah, this is weird. That's the thing. And like I said, I talked to some people last night. I'm not going to mention names, but people that they didn't know how this was going to work out. This is just new.
It's a lack of oversight, too.
Some people are saying he got homesick. But
homesick?
Yeah,
He's from here.
Yeah, I know.
No,
Somebody said he went on vacation with his buddies from Alabama.
But no, he came back here supposedly because he was homesick.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, that's what they said.
And then on spring break, allegedly, it went on break with some of his Alabama friends.
Yeah, I don't know if I wouldn't call that homesick.
No, not really.
That he's
He missed his buddies.
He missed his buddies, but I still say way more than that.
Caden is probably 19 or 20.
Yeah.
I still say there was multiple factors involved. From what I've been told, there were multiple factors involved. NIL, I'm sure, is part of it, but it's not the only reason.
No.
You know, maybe he got here and it just didn't
feel right.
It just didn't feel right for him, you know?
Well, clearly, he's leaving
again. He's of that age where you don't really know what the hell you're doing half the time.
He knows he's going to play football.
Yeah.
He knows that's his ticket. And
he is a five-star former recruit that has options.
And he is 6'7" and 320 pounds?
360.
Is he that big?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he says he could eat Domino's pizza and not gain any weight. Like you're going to notice.
Would you like to see a wing eating contest between Caitlin and Caden Proctor?
I think and then why not throw Caitlin Clark in there just for the names? They're all similar.
There you go. Watch. Can you imagine a wing eating where
Caitlin Clark, Caden Proctor, and Caitlin Walker?
Yeah, Kinnick is full.
What if Caitlin
just to watch people eat?
What if Caitlin? What if she just like destroyed?
Blew
them
away.
She eats like 240 wings.
The thinner you are, the more sometimes Joey Chestnut.
What if Kalen Walker's sitting there eating all those
Kobayashi.
Wings? Kalen Walker eats like 100 of them, but then he loses like 10 pounds during the contest.
And passes out.
And then Proctor during the contest transfers back and forth from Ida, Alabama like 23 times. All right, now I'm done.
No. Hello.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to call in. The university that I worked at and taught and did some advising, there are so many easy ways to pick up classes. You know, some classes only last three weeks. Some classes only last 6 weeks.
Okay.
There's midterm classes. There's all kinds of stuff. And being somebody that occasionally, I was in art, so I didn't have a lot, but occasionally athletes, these athletic advisors, they know what's going on. They can figure stuff out easy.
Okay.
Okay,
that makes sense. And I wonder, too, by listening to this, if maybe when he got here to Iowa, he took classes that were like 3 and 4 weeks long, thinking maybe, you know, he wasn't completely convinced. So, no. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
That's exactly right. You bet. See you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, that makes more sense. Maybe when he got here, he's like, yeah, I'm glad I'm back, but I'm going to take these classes just in case. And maybe some of them are ones that he's wrapping up now. Because the On3 story said he is re-enrolling in Alabama this spring. That's what they're the one who broke that story. They're the one who actually spoke to him.
So, I mean, he didn't really, practice doesn't start till when? Today?
Today. Today's the first day of practice.
And so he never practiced. Per se.
Never,
so all he ever did was lifted, right?
He lifted, you know, probably had a training table and hung out, and maybe it just didn't click for him, and maybe it didn't click for his teammates either. Who knows? I mean, he's one guy in a big team sport. It's a blow. I mean, you would like to think that he was going to help the offensive line, and you know, and let's face it, the offensive line has been
substandard.
Very substandard. And, you know, it's going to be pretty much the same guys again next year.
Yeah.
I mean, Mason Richmond's getting ready to be a 4-year starter at left tackle now. He was going to move over to, I think he was going to move inside to guard for Caden, and then Jennings Dunker be the right tackle. But my guess now is this shifts Mason back out to left tackle. So we'll see. I know it was very deflating for Iowa fans. I'm sure you were a little bummed when you saw it initially, weren't you?
It was more of a, are you freaking kidding
me?
Yeah,
there was that, yes, yeah.
You know, I'm just tired of the drama. And, you know, fine, go.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of Iowa fans were. I think a lot of Iowa fans were like this. What was strange about this one, though, is no rumor.
No.
Nothing in the morning. I don't care what some people in the media say. There was nothing out there. I know some people, oh, yeah, I've known about this. You haven't known about this.
No, you haven't.
At noon yesterday, I hadn't heard, I hadn't seen or heard anything from anybody. There was nothing on the message boards or
No, it was late in the afternoon.
Yes. Well, like I said, you said you heard something at 4:45. My nephew texted me at 5:03. Nothing broke media-wise on social media until almost 5:20. So, like I said, there was about a 20-minute gap between my nephew letting me know. And I called you about 5 after.
And I wish I had had my...
I was just going to ask you to go on to... Because I'm guessing by then there was some stuff on the lounge as it was just getting ready to start to break. And
there was.
But then, like I said, I did the Google search. I did the I did Twitter searches of Alabama beat writers that I'm aware of, and nobody had anything.
As I said, the first thing that popped up in the lounge
was that thing at 4:45.
Was a guy from that talked to an Iowa State former lineman.
Yeah, how they would happen to know
who knows?
Is my nephew in the chat room today bragging?
He was.
Was he bragging? About his scoop?
No.
Wow, he's humble. But no, he just happened to know the right guy who knows somebody. And
that's how it happens.
Yes.
That's the way a lot of crap, that's the way we break a lot of stuff.
Sure, but the problem is you gotta, it's 90% of the time it isn't true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, then you gotta chase
it. Then you have to
down.
Have your corroboration, yeah. Yep.
Well, and that's why I didn't tweet anything.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to try to get a second source, but like I said, I went from saying, yeah, whatever, to believing him when he told me who his source was.
Yeah.
When he told me who his source, well, it wasn't his source. It was his buddy's source who had told him. Yeah. I'm like, oh, God, this is true. This guy is not going to be making this stuff up. And the more digging I did, it sounds like he told some people early in the afternoon what he had been told. And this particular person I mentioned is going to hear stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
He's a very important person in the hierarchy of Iowa athletics, and he's just going to know stuff like this. And so, yeah, but these people saying, oh, this has been out there for – no. Yeah. No, there was no talk of this 2 days ago.
No.
None. It was nowhere. This happened fast. I wonder when Brad found out. Do you know?
No.
I wonder when and how he found out.
Good question.
I wonder if he just found out. My guess is Brad knew before anyone in the media.
He said he will be happy to come on with us next week.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. But don't you think, my guess is he knew before anything was tweeted in the media.
I would sure think so.
Yeah, he would. He usually knows the athletes coming and going before the media. And because he should. I mean, that's the position he's in. So, but yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but I'm with you, Tom, enough.
Just, yep, good, you know, goodbye.
Good luck, goodbye. And it's just...
I don't wish ill on the kid.
No, I would never do that. But, I do think that the kid needs to...
Grow up.
Grow up a little bit and, you know, stick to your decision. And, I don't know, he's burned Iowa twice now.
Yeah. Yep. So...
But I wouldn't say it to his face.
Sayonara, friend.
No, say it to his face.
Say it to his face?
What the hell you think you are?
God, his biceps are bigger than me. I mean, he's one of the biggest human beings. I mean, he's massive.
Well, he makes Tristan Wirfs look small.
He's like Andre the Giant.
Yeah. So, but no, like the fact that, you know, he didn't get any NIL money from other than the initial thing to come up here.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's just a bizarre story. It just shows you the age we're living in now. It's just, it's so crazy.
It is. And, you know, a lot of coaches don't like it at all, and it's going to drive some of them out of the business.
But they better get some structure. They better get some guidelines. They better get somebody in charge. This is just nobody's running this thing right now, and it is literally the wild, wild west. I mean, I'm all for giving student-athletes power and opportunity, but, God, there's got to be some structure.
And Fran was so curt with his questions the other day when people were talking, the opt-outs from the teams in the NIT.
I wrote a story on that,
yeah.
And he – he wasn't mad at the media.
No.
He was just he's just like, this is a ridiculous conversation. He doesn't agree with these schools that don't want to play it. They claim they're using the portal as their excuse, but I think most of them are just pissed they didn't get in the NCAA tournament. They're pouting.
Well, and that's how I took it.
I will say,
well,
I was talking mostly to Gary. Gary Barta was there last night, and it was nice to see Gary. Gary's always such a nice guy. I know, you know, everything didn't work out great for him, and I've been critical of him at times, but just when it comes to one-on-one, he brought up a good point. Some of these teams may turn, it's not cheap playing in the NIT.
No.
You got it costs. That flight out to Utah, I mean, it's not a cheap endeavor, so he thinks that may have something to do with it, but yeah, I kind of got the sense from Gary talking last night, he kind of feels he got out at the right time.
Yeah.
I kind of get that sense that he got out at the right time.
Did you see Beth there last night?
I was talking to Beth.
Oh, good. I didn't see her.
She sits where she always does, and had a little talk with Beth about it off the record. And, you know, there's not much she can really say, but what I like about Beth is she's willing to engage with you off the record.
Yes.
And she trusts, you know, it's not like I was going to race. Oh, I just talked to Beth. You know, I'm not going to do stuff like that, but yeah, no, I just think this caught everybody by surprise. I'd love to know when Kirk found out.
Yeah.
You think Kirk woke up yesterday morning knowing that Proctor was going to transfer to Alabama, if you had your guess?
I would say he may have had some feelings of unease in regards to it, but I don't know.
Because like I said, I never saw any rumor, anything on Twitter. You hadn't said anything about message board. There had been nothing. This just came out of nowhere. Even though it didn't come out of nowhere, it seems like it came out of nowhere. But
of course not.
It is what it is, man.
I think we broke it yesterday morning.
Yeah?
You guys did?
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, but I started thinking, you know,
there was a guy that it was a television station down south, and I want to say it was in West Virginia, that managed to change Twitter timestamps. And they're being prosecuted.
Wow.
But so they would put stories in that maybe other stations, broke.
And then change
the timestamp. And yeah, it's like a big hacking deal that.
That wouldn't be a good thing.
Yeah, they're getting taken to court. And Twitter's threat. X.
Elon. She's my interview with Don Lemon. What a thin-skinned little puss. I finally blocked him on Twitter. I'm so sick of him. He's just turning into a political commentator now. He's not even hiding it now, but he's so thin-skinned. He can't take any criticism. And I'm not a Don Lemon fan. You know me. I was so glad when CNN got rid of him, but his questions weren't unfair. I mean, Don Lemon was saying, hey, doesn't the buck stop with you? Because Elon's basically throwing everybody else under the bus for causing the problems at Twitter. He's the boss. It stopped, and he didn't like the line of questions.
I blame Hunter for the problems here.
On X?
On here. In here.
What are the problems in here?
The morning host has a bad attitude.
Is that you?
Yes.
Hey, where's that computer? Where's that computer that usually sits there?
Is Greg here?
No.
Oh, he's working on it? He's gonna work on
it? He's going to, yeah.
It's still making all that noise?
No, this morning it was silent. We called Greg yesterday, and he said, I'll come in and put the new fan in it. And so we come in today, waiting for Greg to show up.
There's been days where it doesn't make a sound, but then there's other days where...
Yesterday it sounded like a threshing machine.
Louder than Motorhead.
It was,
it's like Motorhead.
Motorhead.
You a big fan of... Hunter, you like Motorhead? Hunter doesn't like him. You like him?
No.
Shooter?
No.
No.
Yeah, Motorhead number one.
Yeah, Tommy likes Motorhead.
Motorhead number one.
Who's their? Didn't they have a famous
Lemmy?
Lemmy, that's right. Yeah. Lemmy was in Motorhead. Are they still around?
Well, Lemmy ain't.
I'm gonna.
I think without Lemmy, I think they're kind of.
Today's gonna be a music day, and not much going on. At least I don't. Hopefully, there's not more breaking news, but maybe just. This seems like a good day to listen to a lot of music. I'm going to do that this afternoon. What do you think of that? What do you want me to listen to? Well, Taylor Swift.
Taylor. Colby
Kings
Calais.
Kings of Leroy.
What? You know, Kings of Leroy.
Well, I'm just trying to think of bands that you've promoted. Night Stranger.
Night Ranger.
Aren't they?
Do you know, yesterday I got a call.
Don't tell you love me. Isn't that Night Ranger?
Yes, from the same number. All day, and I didn't answer it.
I'm getting a lot of spam calls.
And then I finally answered it last night at 7, and it's a guy. He gets on. Is this Stefan? And I go, who are you? He goes, well, your bank, and didn't say what bank. Your bank referred me to you to get mortgage insurance.
There you go.
What are you going to do if you pass on? And I said, I'm dead. What do I care? Well, what about your family? I said, I don't care. And he goes, you don't care if your family's got to pick up your debt, which they don't.
No, I mean, those are scam calls.
I said, no. I said, they shouldn't have outlived me.
And what?
The guy got pissed that he wanted to argue.
It's not what he was expecting to hear.
Well, I've gotten a couple calls recently from someone say, hey, I understand your businesses are having some huge tax problems. We can help you. And like, no, we're not. I mean, it was.
How would you know that?
If it were true. It's a scam. They just want, they're trying to get as much information as they can.
Well, I said, which bank? Well, your bank. I said, well, which bank is that? No answer.
I'll never forget the time I made a mistake and clicked on something that I shouldn't have clicked on. And next thing I know, I'm talking to some guy who I think was in Pakistan. And we got, and he basically admitted that they were scamming. He said, he goes, sir, we're going to break your computer down. We're going to know everything. I never heard from him again, but it was a scam. I made them, and I've never clicked on one of those things again.
They want you at times, some of them, to say yes. Like you pick up your phone and you say yes. And then they put it in, you know, a phone call where, are you responsible for this, like $100 bill or something? And then then they have you answer yes. Never, ever say yes when you get one of those calls.
Well, never. Just don't take them. Yeah. Luckily, like my cell phone, it'll say potential spam. Yeah. I don't even click on them.
Yeah, this didn't.
It
was a Mason City number.
But the tax thing was calling my landline. Mm. They for some reason had my landline. And
hello.
A couple things. One of our residential tenants called, and it comes up potential spam. Well, I didn't answer, and you left a voicemail. So now I pretty much have to answer potential spams unless I wait for a voicemail, which is weird. It's just her regular cell phone.
So that is weird.
Yeah,
you heard that one before. And then the spam call I'm getting lately, and this is literally verbatim. I pick up. I don't know if you guys have gotten this one yet, but I pick up and they say, If this is you, and that's it.
Yeah.
If this
that's
is
it?
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Like I missed either the, like, hi, Mike, if this is you, or if this is, you know, something.
Wow.
Are you having issues with diabetes if this is you or something, you know? But no, it's just if this is you. Well, it is me. I better answer.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Haven't got that one?
No.
I have not. No.
No.
But thanks for the heads up.
There you go. All right. Bye.
Well, again, thanks to Adam Haluska and Kalen Walker. This has been a fun show.
It has been some interesting
threads. I did not want to sit here for an hour and 45 minutes and dwell on the Caden Proctor thing. I mean, we addressed it. I mean, I didn't want to spend the whole time. What's my nephew saying?
You and the crew need to watch the movie Henry.
Henry?
Starring Michael Rooker. I never heard of him.
Oh, yeah, he was in Michael Rooker. You'd know him if you saw him. I mean, he was the really bad racist in Mississippi Burning.
Yeah.
You'd know him if you saw him.
Yeah, I know who you're talking
about. He's been
in
other stuff, too.
But, I mean, why do I need to watch the movie?
You know, see, well, my nephew's feeling...
We were talking about maybe Caden Proctor going to Alabama.
Well, my nephew's feeling his oats now, you know. He beat the media with the Proctor stuff, and now he thinks he's got the right to tell people what to do.
And I think he does.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's 20 minutes ahead of the media in the Proctor stuff, and he's feeling really good about himself.
And he beat the Buffalo Wild Wings Buffalo in a wing-eating contest, so he's feeling cocky.
It's based on serial killer Henry Lee Lucas.
Oh,
one of the most disturbing movies. Why do I want to watch one of the most disturbing movies you ever seen? Don't I sound depressed enough in the morning?
Well, I used to have an interest in serial killers, but I've grown up. Yeah. I've moved beyond.
I have always had an interest in
it's sort of a macabre way, but now
why don't you tell us the next serial killer?
Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite serial killer, Captain?
Of all time?
Yeah, is it
Ed Gein? Had to be Gacy.
Gacy?
Yeah.
Why is that?
He advertised on the station.
Okay. And during those times he was on, he was the greatest serial killer ever.
He was the best serial killer.
Wow.
Did he pay his bills?
No wonder Caden Proctor left.
We find out that he listened to this radio show twice. He's like,
I don't have to put up with this.
He always paid on time.
Gacy did?
Yeah.
Are we going to end on that?
Yeah, I think we should end.
Okay. Well, everybody, have a good, safe day, and we'll be back on Friday.
All right, hawkfanatic.com. Check it out. It's free.